We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask again that you be with us this morning as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you have given us. We pray that you give us eyes that can see and ears that can hear, and that you open the treasures which are hidden in Scripture to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him, and increase the comfort that you give us in these last dangerous days. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speakerphones, and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. A service this morning is coming from our home here in the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. We'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Song of Solomon. We're looking at chapter 1, the last words of verse 4. The whole verse reads this way in the King James translation: the bride speaking to the bridegroom. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. And now the final words: we will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. We are having a beautiful, beautiful summer day here in Coon Valley. There's some little pockets of fog that are resting and nestling in the woods and the bluffs above our home. We've had a gentle rain, which is very welcome because things were getting a little dry here. Birds are singing and flying around, and a little fox was running around in our yard this morning. It's just a beautiful day. And yet, amidst all the beauty that we have here, we're all looking forward to the time when the Son of God will come again, and we will be with him in an even better place, a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The bride here in the fourth verse of chapter 1 of Song of Solomon is looking toward that day. And being that she is a representative of every one of God's elect, because we all make up the bride of Christ at the last day when the wedding bells will ring, we are looking forward to that day also. The hymn writer puts it this way: while I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. So this morning we join the bride as she looks forward to that day, a day when all of us will be together and we'll be standing next to Job, who hundreds of years ago said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the last day upon the earth. And though after skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and mine eyes shall behold and not another. And with godly Stephen, we look up into the heavens and say, I see the Son of God. I see the Son of God coming in all his glory. And we one day too will see him. We shall see God. And then we will remember. We will remember. We will remember thy love more than wine. Memory is an amazing thing, but it can be either a blessing or a curse. It all depends. If my computer program is giving me the correct information, the English word remember occurs 148 times in the King James Version of the Holy Bible. It's a lot of times. Memory is a very important thing. And it's not only the bride who's going to be doing some remembering on that last day, but the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are also going to remember some things. And the children of the devil are going to remember some things. The Lord God has a good memory. And there are many things on that day that he will remember. But thankfully, there are also some things which he promises he will not remember. The children of the devil also have memories. There are many things that they forget in this life, and there are also some things that they will forget in the afterlife. But there are things also that they will remember in the afterlife, and many of these things they will wish they could forget, but they won't be able to. And as children of God, we also have memories. There are things which God commands us to remember. There are other things which, especially in the life to come, by the grace of God, we will not remember. This is a word that is worthy of intense investigation and study in Holy Writ. This morning, we're just going to scratch the surface to get you going. But we will look at some of these remembering passages which the Holy Spirit has recorded for us in Holy Writ. God always makes the first move, and so we'll start with him. The Lord God has a memory, and it's a good one. He remembers a lot of things about Satan's wicked ones. We think of Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So we could say that God has a book on every one of us. And these books are going to be opened at the last day. And everything is going to come out into the light, even the deeds that were done in the darkness of night. And nobody is going to be able to escape from this. They might be able to run, but they can't hide. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then we're going to see how accurate is the memory of the Lord God. Son of God tells us in Matthew 23, I'm beginning at verse 33, speaking to the enemy, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues," not God's synagogues anymore, it's your synagogues, "and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." Well, when the Son of God spoke these words, some 4,000 years had passed since the time that Cain murdered his brother Abel out in the field. But the blood of Abel was crying to God for vengeance, and God has not forgotten that. There's going to be an answer for that. It's been around 6,000 years already in coming, but it's going to come. And if the wicked ones hope that God forgets some things like this, they've got another thing coming. Because God has a good memory. And finally, it's their own fault. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. And God's going to remember that. In 2 Samuel 15, verse 2, we see another example, one of many examples in Scripture, of the accurate memory of God. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. God has a good memory. He's also got a good memory concerning his elect, the ones whom he chose from before the foundation of the world in grace and love and mercy to be brought to the marriage altar at the last day, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We think of Psalm 56, verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Bride of Christ sheds many tears during her journey here on this earth. God remembers every single one of them. He puts every single tear that his elect shed in his own bottle and in his book. And the ending is going to be this, Revelation 7, verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living water, fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And that's blessed beyond words. That's why it's repeated in Scripture. Revelation 21, opening words, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And in what Scripture says that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, it means a lot more than that God is going to give you a pill that's going to make you forget every bad thing that happened. It means a lot more than that. That wouldn't really be the way God would wipe away all tears from their eyes. He's going to make them see the blessings that were coming their way in all the tears that they shed. And they're going to be thankful for them. And there will be no more bad memories. This is what the bride is getting at. We'll get that into that in a few minutes. But Psalm 126 is kind of a neat little summary of all this. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. The children of Israel had been taken away captive into Zion, deported out of the Holy Land, went down there for 70 years. Many of them that were deported died in Babylon. And some were born in Babylon, never had seen the Holy Land. But there were older people that had lived through the whole kit and caboodle. They were taken captive down to Babylon, and they were there for 70 years. It seemed like they were never going to get out. And when God brought them back, it was just like a dream to them. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And now here we have it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so the bride of Christ can find comfort in this, that God is a God who has a good memory. And the tears that we shed are kind of like watering a precious seed that has been sown into the ground. And the sun will rise and shine, and the seed will grow and produce fruit. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Turning the coin over a little bit for the elect, thankfully there are some things that the Lord will choose not to remember. In Psalm 25, verses 6 and 7, the prayer is for God, first of all, to remember something, and then not to remember something. Verse 6, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. And now verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And then, for our comfort, a double shot, both from the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 12, God speaking to us, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, speaking about us, I guess, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Same thing in Hebrews 10, 16 and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So on that great wedding day when the Heavenly Father brings the bride through the power of his Holy Spirit and the Word to the marriage altar and gives her to his son, she's going to be a worthy bride. And the sins that she's committed in the past are going to be completely forgotten. I will remember their sins no more. Psalm 103, beginning at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Even in this life, he doesn't. If he did, we'd be a lot worse off. But he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And now an example that many of us can relate to. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And the promise in Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. So, yes, God has a very, very good memory. But there are some things, thankfully, that he will choose not to remember. Children of the devil have memories also. Sometimes their memories are even better than the memories of God's children. Example, Matthew 27, 62 and 63. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Amazingly, the disciples forgot all about that. But the enemy did not. And there's a little bit of fear involved here. Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. So we can't light up the victory cigars just yet. We can't pop the champagne bottles of celebration just yet. We've got 3 more days before we can claim victory. Ye have a watch. Go make it as sure as you can. Children of the devil had memories out in the wilderness, remembering all again the wrong things. Numbers 11, beginning at verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember. Well, what do they remember? They didn't remember the years and years and years that they were slaves under Pharaoh and labored under his whiplashes. They didn't remember that. What did they remember? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. We remember all that stuff. We really had it good. We didn't realize it, but we really had it good. But now, our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Manna was bread from heaven, a beautiful type of the Word of God. And the same sin is being committed over and over and over again in our own day. Didn't want it. All we got is this stuff. Well, the stuff that they had from heaven was a lot better than Pharaoh gave them down in Egypt. But they remembered the fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. Pathetic example, Luke 16, beginning at verse 22. And you know the story here, you know the context of it. There was a very, very wealthy man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He had all the good things in this world, and he was living life to the fullest. At his gate was a beggar, craving even the crumbs that fell from his table, but he didn't even get that. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember. Remember. What was he supposed to remember? Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, that now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Think of the agony here. Think of the agony. You know, if the guy never had a chance, it wouldn't be maybe be quite so bad. But when he did have a chance and he blew it, and he would realize, you know, I didn't have to be down here. I could have been up in heaven with Abraham and Lazarus. The story didn't have to end for me the way it did. But I blew it. Son of God said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's no reason, no good reason why anyone would have to be down in hell. The blood of Christ covers every sin that's been committed. The only sin that damns is unbelief. And this comes from rejection. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. And so those who were so disobedient to the Son of God during their lifetime here on this earth are going to hear one final command from him. And the command is this: depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And that command they will obey, and they will turn and walk away into everlasting punishment. Think of the agony that will belong to the children of the devil in hell when they remember this. Remember, you lived for this life. Now you're being punished. The elect children of God also have memories. And some things that God has commanded us to remember. Deuteronomy 7, beginning at verse 17. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? When I send you into the Holy Land to conquer it, there are powerful enemies there. And when you assess the situation, you're going to realize that you're helpless against them. But when you see that, verse 18, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord God brought thee out. Remember that. Remember the 10 plagues that God sent against Pharaoh. Remember the event that took place at the Red Sea when Pharaoh and his powerful army and 600 chariots of iron were all destroyed. Remember that. And God is going to fight for you also. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. And what God said to the children of Israel when they saw the Egyptians bearing down on them, we can apply to us too. Take a good look at this Egyptian army. Take a good look at them. Because this is the last you're going to see of them. Thou shalt see them no more again forever. They're going to be put down. Our comfort comes when we remember all these wonderful deeds that God has done in the past and still does for his own children. Psalm 77, verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And then the next verse, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? Because we do not take everything to God in prayer. We don't remember these things. Remember how powerful God is. Look at the promises and remember not so much the promises, but the one who made the promises. Got to remember that. And also, Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. Don't make the same tragic mistake that she made. Her body was running towards safety, but her soul and her heart was still back in Sodom. That's where her treasure was. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. And she turned back. The bride here in Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse 4, has prayed to him, prayed to her bridegroom, draw me. She realizes she can't come to him. She has to be drawn. And she realizes that he can overcome the obstacles that she cannot. So the prayer is, draw me. And then the result of it is, we, the whole bride, we will run after thee. The answer to the prayer is, the king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. And he's revealed treasures to us, and he's revealed secrets to us and mysteries that the other people don't know. And then now we will remember thy love more than wine. This is looking to the last day. Wine in the Bible, as we have already seen, is a symbol of all the good things in this life. And we're going to remember these things. We're going to remember something more than these good things. It's true that during our lifetime here on this earth, God has given us many things to enjoy, but we're going to remember more his love for us that he showed. We will remember thy love more than wine. And a lot of times, the love of God comes to us when we don't see it and don't recognize it, because it comes in the middle of storms that he puts us in and in the midst of the burning fire. And he does that because he loves us, but we don't see it. And if need be, we are in heaviness. Yes, we are. But the day is going to come when we're going to look and see as we are seen and know as we are known. And at the last day, when we see how all this worked out, we are going to look at all the trials that we passed through, all the tears that we shed, all the suffering that we went through, and we are going to remember these things, and we're going to love him. I will remember thy love more than wine, more than all the so-called good things. The truth of the matter is this, that there is love behind every single thing that comes to us from the hand of our Heavenly Father in our whole life. As a father loves his son, so the Lord God loves them that fear him. And here the family situation kicks in. You can't know this until you experience it, how much love you have as a mother and a father toward your children. But God loves you infinitely more than you could love even your own children. And we're going to see this at the last day. And we will remember this. We'll remember thy love more than wine. Psalm 4 is very instructive here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, even though it's short. But the child of God that wrote this is in carrying crosses, suffering. And then he comes down to verse 7, and he says this in verse 7 and verse 8, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. What he's saying here is that when I'm carrying crosses and when I'm suffering, I still have more gladness in my heart in that condition than the heathen people do when everything is going well for them and their corn and their wine increased. Now, this is not something we can feel, but we know enough now that we can understand that feelings are sometimes very deceptive. And sometimes when we feel the furthest away from God, we are really closest to Him, and He is closest to us. And we can't help but remember the precious words of 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 15, and you've heard these before. For all things are for your sakes. That's everything. That's everything that happens. Not just what look like the good things, and then there are other things that look like the bad things. All things are for your sakes. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many resound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And the bride is going to remember this. She's going to remember this at the last day. And she's going to say, we will remember thy love more than wine. There are other memories that we have that will all be forgotten. And I'm not going to fill in the detail here, but you can fill in the blanks. There are painful memories that we have of seeing our loved ones suffer and seeing our loved ones persecuted. And these memories are going to all be forgotten when we see how our loved ones were being richly blessed by what was unfolding. And the Lord God was with them in the midst of their sufferings, just like He was with us. And these painful memories, which we're going to carry with us until we die, but we won't be carrying them with us for eternity. They will be forgotten. And the words of Isaiah 43, the opening ones, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. So the fiery trials that we passed through did not destroy us. They purified us. And not one hair of our head was singed. And the deep waters that we found ourselves in did not destroy us either, because the Savior was with us. And so at the last day, all of the heartaches of God's people will be turned to joy. Christ can change even sin into a blessing, and He will, and He does. And the end result of it is, the upright love thee. And the love is going to last forever.